Welcome to Wealth Map Radio, where we chart a course through the chaos of retirement planning, market movements, and financial independence with a healthy dose of clarity and caffeine. We don't just talk about money, we decode it. That's why Wealth Map Radio is designed to be your GPS for retirement, helping you avoid financial potholes, risky cliffs, and the detours that can derail your long-term goals. We break down real-life challenges retirees actually face and how to navigate them with confidence. We're believing and having a plan that is built to last. That's where our Compass Report comes in. It includes real-world tools like the Color of Money Risk Analysis, Social Security Maximization Report, Tax Scorecard, and the Retirement Buffer Analysis, all designed to give you direction and peace of mind. For us, RETIRE is an acronym for Retirement, Estate, Taxes, Income, Risk, and Enjoyment. So whether you're navigating market twists, wondering if your nest egg will actually hatch, or trying to figure out why your money disappears faster than leftovers at a family barbecue, stick around. We'll cut through the noise, drop some wisdom, and share a few laughs along the way. Now buckle up, because here on Wealth Map Radio, financial freedom is the destination, and every step along the trail is full of purpose and intent. How does the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, or OB3A as I lovingly refer to it, affect the Roth conversion discussion? How about the Social Security discussion on when to claim, how to claim? Let's dive into those two topics specifically today, at least for the first half of the show. I want to welcome you to Wealth Map Radio. Time to get rocking and rolling. We're going to look at some high-level concepts that you might consider in your planning surrounding those two questions. How does the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, or OB3A, affect Roth conversions? And the decision on them, how much to convert, if to convert, and what about your Social Security decisions? A Compass report has many components that are as is needed for each client. It's a dynamic report in that the segments and modules it has are as comprehensive or as streamlined as your specific situation demands, but two of them come into focus during this show today. And one is called the Tax Scorecard, which tackles many of the conversion questions from a tax perspective. The other is a Social Security Maximization Report. And as we focus on the Roth conversion question and the Social Security claiming decision within the framework of OB3A, we invite you to get your Compass report done. The phone number is 484-600-6512, 484-600-6512. You can also always visit us and set up your own visit at wealthmapradio.com. And I think what we'll do today is limit it to the first five who call in to set up that free visit with us. Your Compass report will be done complimentary, the full thing, nothing watered down, so you can see in your situation the dangers, opportunities, and strengths, and how to approach each of those. Every Compass report also has your current path projection, what you might be looking at today if nothing changed, with reasonable assumptions, and a more revised or holistic path that shows you quantifiably what might be possible for you with common sense alterations, avoiding the dangers, taking advantage of the opportunities, and doubling down on the strengths that you do have. Everyone has, though, those three things, dangers, opportunities, and strengths. That's not really the point, because everyone does have them. The point is, the Compass report helps you know what to do about each of them to the maximum benefit for you and your family possible. So again, for the first five, 484-600-6512. All right, now, thanks to what is called the senior bonus deduction in the One Big Beautiful Bill for retirees age 65 and older, and the senior bonus deduction does apply whether you are itemizing or taking the standard deduction. There are some phase-outs that it's subject to and all that. There's that piece, and there's also the higher cap on what is called the state and local tax deduction, often referred to as the SALT deduction, under the new law. And so for many older retirees, they now have more deduction room, or what I'm going to call headspace in their deductions for planning. That means when you convert a traditional account, like an IRA, 401k, those kind of things, to a Roth and pay the tax you owe up front, legally divorcing the IRS from that portion of your retirement, a bigger chunk of that conversion may be effectively sheltered from taxable income than before. Or you may opt to convert more now because you now have more cushion or headspace in your deductions to absorb it. Now, I do want to address this idea that somehow you go backwards when you convert to a Roth. So long as you and your advisors manage the tax brackets well, something we call tax bracket smoothing, it is indeed a fallacy that you go backwards in net value. For example, is paying off your mortgage going backwards in your net worth? No, it's a neutral move. You have the same net worth before and after you pay off your mortgage. This is somewhat similar to your IRA, 401k, and other tax procrastinated type of accounts. Inside of them is a large tax bill. Whether you pay it all at once, over a few years, or procrastinate and pay it over your lifetime or a long period of time, you owe the tax. It is a lien or debt the IRS has on those types of accounts. And again, you owe the tax. Now or later, you owe it. That's not the question. The question is, in the conversation about conversion, whether or not it makes sense to get the taxes out of the way and legally divorce the IRS and have a tax-free bill of health from that time forward, or to procrastinate them and pay them over time. There are many considerations in this debate. Some of them might be, number one, we do not know the future of taxes, but we do know they will likely, mathematically, be higher. Now, this can come in the form of changing tax brackets, which is what we mostly think of. It can also come by minimizing or changing deductions, phase-outs, things like that. And it can come in the way of creating new ways to tax American savers. That last one is where I believe we will see creativity from Congress in the future. They've already shown their propensity for this over time with creating new taxes like Social Security taxes, the IRMA surcharge on Medicare premiums, and even the Obama surcharge tax on the additional 3.8% on capital gains for some taxpayers. That is also a, quote, new tax. It's a new way of taxing American savers. All of those things are, but tax brackets didn't change at all. But you are paying more in tax. See that? So the future of taxes is a consideration in this Roth conversion discussion. Number two, collateral damage is another big consideration. Taxes on Social Security, IRMA surcharges on Medicare, and even the capital gains tax, as I mentioned, the surcharge tax on capital gains, and capital gains themselves are many times collateral tax damage that otherwise might not occur with proper planning. Okay, well, what does trigger those pieces of collateral taxation damage? The largest culprits by far for retirees, by far, are distributions from IRAs and 401ks. Pensions, real estate income, capital gains, interest, all do count as well in creating that collateral damage. Even so-called tax-free interest from municipal bonds still cause that collateral damage. Taxes on Social Security, IRMA surcharges, capital gains that otherwise wouldn't be. All of those things cause collateral damage, but the largest culprits by far are IRAs and 401ks and all their siblings. What are the only two retirement tools, let me clarify, that do not cause or trigger that kind of collateral tax damage? Answer, Roths and LIRPs, or life insurance retirement plans, the phonetic, often phoneticized as a LIRP. So could converting to a Roth or a LIRP help you avoid all of that collateral tax damage, IRMA surcharges, capital gains taxes, taxes on Social Security. Yes, it very possibly could. So avoiding collateral tax damage is also a consideration in the conversion discussion. There are many more. All of those aspects, and of course, much more comprehensive than that too, are covered in your Compass report. And if you are considering a Roth conversion, ladies and gentlemen, hear me on this. If you're considering it for this year, there is some urgency to get that analysis done, especially your tax scorecard that is part of your Compass report. Well, I encourage you to be one of the first five today. Set up that free visit with us at Whispering Brook Financial, 484-600-6512, 484-600-6512, or wealthmapradio.com. And I'm just going to keep moving here real quick. I just want you to know there's a lot that goes into the discussion about whether to convert or not to convert, especially with OB3A, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. But specifically, you know, how could it help? Well, imagine this. Imagine you were going to convert $50,000 this year from a traditional IRA to a Roth. Under the old rules, before OB3A, you'd carry the full $50,000 into your taxable income column, and you'd owe the tax on it. Now, like we said, you owe the tax an hour later. As long as the tax brackets are being managed properly, it's not a step backwards. It's a neutral move. You're simply paying off the lien the IRS has on your account. Okay, fine. But under the new law, if you otherwise qualify for the senior bonus deduction, you could have an additional $12,000 deduction for those who are married to help offset the taxes on that conversion. See, if your plan was already to, for example, convert $50,000 a year, you were already prepared to pay the taxes on that. You know it's coming. And again, now or later, it's coming. All right, fine. But with the new senior bonus deduction, you could convert that $50,000, but only have to pay tax on 38 of it, thanks to the $12,000 senior bonus deduction. Again, assuming you otherwise qualify. What could help even more? The increased cap on the SALT deduction, state and local taxes. The previous cap was only $10,000. The new cap on the SALT deduction is $40,000. So all of a sudden, with more deductions, more headspace, converting to a Roth could become much cheaper than it was in the past and actually come out ahead rather than it be a tax-neutral move of just paying the IRS off now instead of later. You could actually come out ahead. Or you could look at it this way. If we do have and qualify for these deductions, instead of converting $50,000, maybe I'm going to convert $75,000, and maybe between the senior bonus deduction and between the SALT deduction increase, maybe you'd only owe taxes on about $50,000. You see what I'm saying? You can offset it, keep your conversion plan the same, and pay less in tax, assuming you otherwise qualify for these deductions. So it very much helps in the conversion discussion. Or you might say, let me convert more. How much more can I convert and still have the same net tax effect I was already anticipating? Wow. Because that allows you to move more at the same tax cost you were already anticipating into the tax-free column. And all the growth from that time forward is tax-free. All the distributions that come out from that Roth account in the future don't cause collateral tax damage on Social Security or IRMA surcharge taxes on your Medicare, like the IRA very likely could have if you didn't convert. You follow me? Again, we're going back to, it's not just a discussion of the account level. Am I ahead or behind on an account level? IRA versus Roth IRA. The discussion has to be broader and more comprehensive. Of course, hence the Compass report. It also must take into account the collateral tax damage. If converting does indeed allow me to have tax-free growth from here to forward? Wonderful. It allows my heirs to inherit the account without income taxes. Wonderful. And avoid the Secure Act 2.0 and the garbage that that is. But it also allows you to largely avoid or completely avoid taxes on Social Security, IRMA surcharges, and even long-term capital gains taxes in brokerage accounts and things like that. And we can get into an example there. See, the discussion is of incredible importance. And OB3A, for many people, allows you to either pay less in tax on a planned for conversion or to convert more than you were thinking with the same net tax consequence, allowing you to move more for cheaper into the tax-free column and accelerate the conversions. So those are some very important key points that OB3A can open up for certain taxpayers, for certain American savers. Are there phase-outs to consider? Absolutely. Are there other things in your plan that might make it not make sense to convert or to convert as much? Absolutely. But here we are coming into the end of the year, and this is on everyone's mind. I want you really to be thinking about this. I want you to get your Compass report and the tax scorecard done so you can see comprehensively what might make sense for you. But very specifically on this question of should I convert or not convert? And if so, how much should I convert? How will the new deductions aid me? Or will I phase out of the deductions if I convert? You see that? That is a possible too, or a possibility as well. All things need to be considered. So please be one of the first five today to set up your free visit with us at Whispering Brook Financial. We will do your Compass report complimentary. And I think you'll see that as you look at the report, it always comes with the current path outlook, where you're likely headed right now if nothing changed, you know, with reasonable assumptions and all that. And then, of course, a more holistic path or part two of the Compass report, showing you what might indeed be possible with common sense alterations, how to create multiple streams of tax-free income potentially, how to mitigate your risk in the market, inflation risk, sequence of return risk, how to generate lifetime income and create alpha in your portfolio. All of those things are very critical. Alrighty, 484-600-6512. Wealthmapradio.com is the other way to get us. 484-600-6512. All right, so here's what we mean. Let's meet Rick and Jenny. They've done well. They've been disciplined, sacrificed, put their future first, but still had a wonderful life along the way. They have an IRA now of about $1.5 million, and they are entertaining that almighty question, to convert or not to convert. Let's take a look at what their tax scorecard, which is part of the Compass report, might tell them and kind of show us under the hood. They are 61 years old, current effective tax rate of about 18%. At social, their age 70, excuse me, their Social Security will be about $60,000 a year. They feel good about assuming an average 7% rate of return, you know, fairly moderate. And starting at age 70, they'd like to take 5% a year from the IRA and live on it. And that's what they'd like to see as far as their picture. They will be starting Medicare at the standard age of 65 in 4 years. If we played that out, looking at the tax picture in their situation, what might we see? All right. The taxes on the distributions would be about $956,000 throughout their lifetime through age 95. Now, of course, the IRA wasn't depleted, and so it will pass to their heirs, which is their goal. What would the heirs have to pay? You owe income taxes on an IRA when you inherit it. Whether you spread it out over 10 years or pay it quickly or delay and pay it over years 8, 9, or 10, that's up to you as an inheritee, but you will pay income taxes on this IRA. That would be about another $600 $20,000. Many of you are aware of the collateral damage that IRAs, 401ks, and other things cause on Social Security, causing taxes that otherwise are unnecessary. In this case, for Rick and Jenny, their IRA causes about $183,000 of unfortunate, unnecessary taxes on their Social Security. That is really frustrating because so many times it just doesn't need to be the case. Now, Irma, here we go. We've spent a little bit of time on this today, haven't we? Irma surcharges. Now, Rick and Jenny have done well in their life. They have a fairly large balance in their IRA. They have a high income from it. And so we're going to have to deal with Irma surcharges. And surcharge is just another word for tax. In their case, they would pay about $184,000 in additional Irma surcharges. In other words, their Medicare premiums over their lifetime, 65 through 95, in this example, would be increased with these surcharges by between $184,000 to $185,000. How frustrating is that? Do they suddenly have better hospital care, better doctor care, better prescription? No. The Medicare coverage is still the same. But because of their IRA and the way they are using it in this example, which I would say is fairly common, they will be hit with another $184,000 to $185,000 of premium surcharges on Medicare. And assuming you're claiming Social Security, where do your Medicare premiums and surcharges come out of? Directly from your Social Security check. Those two things. We have about $183,000, interestingly, of collateral tax damage on their Social Security. We also have $184,000, closer to $185,000, of collateral damage of Irma surcharges. Both of those things are laid at the feet of, they are caused, triggered by the IRA itself. And disheartening. Obviously, look, we want you to look at the x-ray to be brave enough to do it, to see what it might be. And after we take a look at this, and Rick and Jenny, and I'm sure you would feel, well, is there a solution? Can we manage this? Is there a way to mitigate that? Because altogether, their total taxes, right, taxes on their distributions, $956,000. Taxes to the heirs, $620,000. Social Security, $183,000. Irma surcharge taxes, $184,000, $185,000. Altogether, it's $1,946,000 of taxes caused by that IRA over their lifetime. And so, yes, we have the benefit and the growth of the IRA throughout that time, but they also have the very unfortunate tax bill and the collateral damage. Well, let's do this. Let's consider a 5-year conversion period, over which time we intend to convert that $1.5 million Roth IRA. We'll manage the tax brackets, do the tax bracket smoothing effect, and we're going to add 5 percentage points to their tax rate during the conversion period. Their effective rate is 18. During the conversion period, we're going to assume it is 23, right? So we're being fair here to the fact that Roth conversions do cause current taxation. Now, you might say, well, that's a reason not to do it. Well, hold on. Let's look at the entire picture. So here we go. We've converted over 5 years now to a Roth IRA, and we start to look at the distributions at age 70. Do they owe taxes on those distributions, taking out 5% a year from age 70 through 95. Not anymore. Because distributions from Roth IRAs and life insurance retirement plans, for that matter, when set up properly, are tax-free. How about taxes upon death at age 95? When you inherit a Roth IRA, do you, if you inherit one, or a LRP, do you pay income taxes on that amount? No. No, you don't. Taxes on Social Security. Here we go. Remember, it was $183,000. Now the taxes on Social Security are zero. Because distributions from Roths and distributions from LIRPs. Do not cause. They are the only two vehicles, retirement vehicles, that do not cause taxation on Social Security. The only two. HSAs, as a health savings account, also does not cause taxation on Social Security. But the only two retirement tools are Roths and LERPs. That's it. All right. What about Irma surcharges? Remember, they were almost $185,000 if we left the IRA as it was. Here, we weren't able to get rid of all of them. So their Irma surcharges now will be about $16,200 instead of almost $185,000 throughout their retirement. Guys, while I'm bummed we couldn't get rid of all of them, that is a 91% reduction in the Irma surcharges, these Medicare premium surcharges, that they would have otherwise faced and experienced incredible damage to their situation. And the solution here was not complex, but absolutely possible with proper planning. What do they have taxes on? Because what you're hearing right now is no taxes on distributions, no taxes on their Social Security suddenly, no taxes on the Roth IRA at death to the heirs, a little bit of Irma surcharge tax, but a reduction of 91%. Where do we have some tax? Answer, on the conversions themselves. We're converting over 5 years. How much in taxes do we owe on that? About $394,000. All right, so we're being fair here and all in, all together. The conversion comparison has about $410,000 in taxes versus $1.9 million, almost $1.95 million in lifetime taxes if we left the IRA as it was. All the collateral tax damage from Irma's Social Security, the taxes on the IRA distributions, the taxes to the heirs, all of which have now been severely mitigated or eliminated. This is a 79% reduction in taxes and $1.5 million in total taxes saved over their lifetime. And as I often will say, what if it were only half that good? What if it were only $750,000 in taxes saved? Is that still monumental to most American families out there? You bet it is. I want you to get your Compass report, and part of that is the tax scorecard analysis. Let's see what collateral damage you might be facing and what you can do about it. 484-600-6512, 484-600-6512. And of course, you know you can always get us at wealthmapradio.com. We got to take a break, but we'll be right back.
Henry David Thoreau once said, "Wealth is the ability to fully experience life." Here on Wealth Map Radio, we couldn't agree more. Retirement is a journey, and the path is rarely straight. There are twists and turns, peaks and valleys, emotionally, mentally, physically, and of course, financially. That's why a Compass report is so vital. It's the wealth map everyone needs to fully enjoy life in the golden years. At Whispering Brook Financial, people come first. When you meet with our team to begin your Compass report, there's no preset outcome, no hidden agenda. Your goals become our mission, and we take that mission seriously. If you're serious and not just curious about your retirement, call us to get started on your Compass report. 484-600-6512. That's 484-600-6512. The last thing anybody wants in retirement is dodging financial bullets. Yet the threats are real. Policy changes, tax risk, market volatility, rising healthcare costs. We can't guard against every risk. But one thing we've learned, predictability is more important than potential. We help create predictable income streams, shield you from looming tax increases, and build a plan grounded in lasting principles. Because when your retirement is built on tax-free income, you can't not live, life just feels better. You feel better. And studies show that when these principles are in place, people live longer, healthier, and more fully. So let your journey begin with your personalized compass report. Visit wealthmapradio.com or call 484-600-6512 to schedule your complimentary visit. At Whispering Brook Financial, we give you the tools for the most important journey, yours.
All right, everybody, welcome back here. This is part two of Wealth Map Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us and sticking around. Part two here, we are going to talk about how the new senior bonus deduction can make a strong case for delaying Social Security. And we're going to call this the bridge years. The bridge years are those years between 67 through 69, where you're the full retirement age. You could get your full retirement benefit, but you could also delay till age 70. And there's a lot of reasons for this. We talk about it a lot on the show, why doing that might make sense and in what circumstances. And there are certainly circumstances in which it doesn't make sense to delay either. How can the new senior bonus deduction enter that conversation and make some headway and a strong case for delaying? Well, first, let's review what the senior bonus deduction is. Part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act gave seniors a bonus deduction who are at least 65 years old. You can be itemizing or taking the standard deduction. And keep in mind, there are some phase-out rules. If you're single, then your bonus deduction could be $6,000 as long as your modified adjusted gross income is $75,000 or less. Above that, you have a phase out. If you are married filing jointly, your senior bonus deduction could be $12,000, but north of $150,000, you do also face a phase out of that deduction. And it will disappear little by little by little the higher you are above that modified adjusted gross income amount. And important to understand as well, this is not a tax credit, nor is it a change in the taxability of Social Security benefits. It doesn't change how the tax is calculated, the provisional income formulas. It changes none of that. And it doesn't automatically wipe away Social Security taxes. It is a deduction, not a credit. And lastly, the deduction is temporary, in place for the tax years 2025 through 2028. Is it likely that this could be extended? Yes, we plan as though it will not be extended. Obviously, right? We want to be conservative. But will it be pretty difficult for politicians to claw that new deduction back? I think it will be. I think that'll be, you got to have a lot of political capital or just not care about your political career if you're going to try and propose that we take away a senior's tax deductions. I do think it'll stay around, but we plan as if it will not be. Now, speaking of planning, the Compass Report is a very comprehensive and compelling report that we do for clients. We're doing it for the first five today to set up a visit with us at the firm. Totally complimentary. Let me tell you a little bit about the planning process that goes into a Compass report, and then we'll return to the discussion here on delaying Social Security with a senior bonus deduction in mind, because this does play in. We always do, as part of a Compass report, your current path projection. Where are you likely headed right now if nothing changed, with reasonable assumptions? And then we do a part two where we take into account tax efficient strategies, Social Security claiming strategies, market risk mitigation strategies, lifetime income opportunities, all of these things. And when we do that, the net results often are, number one, a bump in net spendable income of around 30% a year on average. Yes, it could be higher or lower than that, sure. Reduction in taxes by 30 to 50% on average. The money lasting 7 to 10 years or longer compared to your current path. And for those who are not yet retired and still working toward it, the ability to retire 3 to 4 years earlier with no sacrifice in projected income compared to the current path. All of those, now sometimes we find all of those results in a Compass report, but any one of them is enviable and ought to be sought after. We've gone through the tax scorecard today as well. That's part of it. The retirement buffer analysis. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know what that is. All of those things and more elements make up a full-fledged, comprehensive Compass report. We want to do yours for you. It's our opportunity to impress you, to show you what our firm, what the team, might be able to do for you and what possibilities exist. 484-600-6512. 484-600-6512 or wealthmapradio.com. Now I want to dive headlong into something called the Social Security Bridge Strategy, which is where you could take your full retirement Social Security benefits. You're 67, 68, or 69 years old. You're thinking about it. You've been told maybe it makes sense to delay till 70. That is very common advice. But here's another argument for that. In light of the senior bonus deduction, one thing to understand is that Social Security income is preferential income. It has certain tax advantages. Only up to 85% of it will ever be taxable, compared to 100% taxable from wages or taxable from IRA distributions, pensions, real estate, those kind of things. Said differently, at least 15% of your Social Security income will be tax-free. For most people, a greater degree will be tax-free. Secondly, only half of Social Security counts toward your adjusted gross income and modified adjusted gross income, versus 100% of IRA distributions, 401k distributions, pensions, wages, and the like. So with those two things in mind, if you qualify and haven't phased out, you're 65, haven't phased out of the senior bonus deduction, what you could do is rely more on your qualified accounts for the next several years and delay Social Security, allowing it to grow by a guaranteed 8% a year. Every year you delay beyond your full retirement age, which if you're not claiming already, is 67 for most people, every year you delay, it grows by 8% until you're age 70. It's hard to argue with a guaranteed 8% increase in income. Then, if we realize with the new standard, with the new senior bonus deduction, instead of only about $32,000, $33,000 of standard deductions, we get an expansion, $44,000, $45,000 because of the senior bonus deduction. That allows us to take more income from normally taxable sources, like a brokerage account that might have capital gains, like a traditional IRA, and have that new bonus deduction wipe away the taxes on those additional distributions. So relying a little bit more heavily on your personal assets when deductions are higher is a very smart move, and allow the Social Security, which is a preferential income stream when it comes to taxation, the ability to defer and grow for you by 8% per year as you defer it. So for example, what if you were 67 years old and thinking you were going to take your Social Security? You had planned to take out about $33,000 a year, if you're married, filing jointly, from your IRA to keep that under the standard deduction. So therefore, it will come out, you know, tax-free or just about tax-free. And if you did take your Social Security now at 67, that would go on top of that and supplement your income. Great. But because we have an additional $12,000 of deductions now, instead, how about taking out $45,000 from the IRA instead of $33,000? And now our senior bonus deduction and standard deduction equal the amount we're taking out from the IRA. Now we can take out $45,000 a year and have those two deductions wipe away the tax on it, or virtually all of it, and allow the Social Security, Again, a preferential tax, a preferential income source from a tax perspective to grow at another 8% guaranteed over the next 3 years until age 70. That makes a lot of sense. And why is that my favorite kind of tax-free income stream? This might sound ironic, from a traditional IRA or a pre-tax 401k, by far, this is my favorite type of tax-free income stream. If I can put in money pre-tax, which I do into the pre-tax side of a 401k or traditional IRA, and then because of the standard deduction and the senior bonus deduction, take money out of those accounts on a tax-free basis thanks to those deductions wiping taxes away, what I've done is put in money pre-tax and take it out tax-free. That is by far my favorite tax-free stream of income. And here on the show, you hear us talk about creating four streams of tax-free income, five streams of tax-free income, and giving examples of that that typify what we work with every day, every week. Well, that is always one of them. Distributions from traditional IRAs under the standard deduction or under the standard and bonus deduction limits now. See, for this next, 4 or 5 years, we have a neat window where we can access tax-deferred or tax-delayed balances at a greater degree and pull them out and rely on them without increasing our tax burden, and therefore bridge that gap from 67 to 90, allowing our Social Security income to grow by a guaranteed 8% a year. During those bridge years. Now, and when you turn 70 and turn on the Social Security income now at a much higher level, you can back off your IRA or other account distributions that you had coming to you and now supplement it with preferential income from Social Security and allow your assets to have less stress upon them for the remainder of your retirement. Another very strong argument for this outside the senior bonus deduction and the bridge strategy that it creates is survivorship benefits. For example, many of you out there, you're getting a Social Security benefit and your spouse is getting one and your spouse's benefit might be less than yours. If you predecease your spouse, the surviving spouse gets the greater of their own benefit or yours, whichever is higher. Importantly, they do not get both. Right now they have both. They have yours. You have yours and your spouse has theirs. And oftentimes the spouse is getting a spousal benefit, which is half of your full benefit. But if the higher earning spouse or the spouse with higher benefits predeceases the other, the lower benefit is turned off. Let's just say it that way. And the surviving spouse gets the higher of the two benefits, but not both. So with that in mind, if you were to claim early, forever discounting your benefit, that means if you predecease your spouse and your discounted benefit is higher than their own, especially if they're just taking a spousal benefit on your discounted benefit, then they receive that discounted benefit for the rest of their life. And many times, widows or widowers have financial hardship. And we can tell you with some authority here that much of that would be alleviated if the deceased spouse had claimed differently. Mostly, we mean, by delaying as long as possible. So think about this when you start, discussing. How are we going to claim benefits? A big consideration that is often overlooked is what will a surviving spouse's benefit be? See that? You don't want to leave them in a lurch. You want to leave them as good as you can, as well fortified as you can. This helps a lot in that discussion. Well, part of a Compass report is indeed the Social Security Maximization Report that we do. If you're still thinking about it, if you're within a year of claiming and thinking you might, in other words, you've claimed less than a year ago and you think, hey, maybe I made a mistake, there is a one-time do-over. If you've claimed less than a year ago, if you want to look at all of these things and how your surviving spouse might be affected how to claim best, and not just how and when to claim to get the most out of it necessarily, but much more importantly, when is the best time to claim based on all of your assets, not just looking at Social Security in a vacuum? But because that may give you one answer, but when you start taking into account the IRA, the annuity, the brokerage account, a little bit of a pension, the calculus about when you should claim absolutely changes. And secondly, something that is, I think, very unique about the Compass Report, it will tell you how to get your Social Security tax free or to the greatest extent possible. That is also very unique to the analyses that we do at the firm. 484-600-6512. 484-600-6512 or wealthmapradio.com. Here's another thing that couples often don't think about in their planning, and it's called the widow's tax penalty. When one spouse passes, the surviving spouse doesn't just lose their partner. They also, you know, lose half their Social Security income often and half of their tax brackets. In other words, married filing jointly has very favorable tax brackets, a larger standard deduction, and a larger senior bonus deduction. When one spouse passes away, the surviving spouse now files single, and the tax brackets shrink by roughly 50%. Medicare IRMA thresholds drop by 50%. So even though the total income usually does decrease when a spouse passes away, the surviving spouse can often end up paying more in taxes, more in Medicare premiums, and IRMA surcharges. So not only are you grieving with the loss of your partner, you also must now deal with higher taxes. And this is a pretty cruel thing, it's a gut punch for sure, and it's often called the widow's tax penalty. These are definitely things that we consider and that we plan for and around. This is one reason why getting to the 0% tax bracket and having multiple tax-free streams of income can be so important, because the widow's tax penalty all but disappears when you do that. And that is, of course, a main goal of the Compass Report, to create as many tax-free streams of income as possible for you. And now you just see, you're getting a little bit of a picture as to one reason why that is very important. Here's a quick example of how a surviving spouse can end up paying more in taxes and Medicare premiums, IRMA surcharges, all that. We got a married couple, Jim and Carol, $90,000 of combined income. They paid modest taxes, 12% tax bracket is all. But after Jim's passing, Carol's income dropped to $60,000. All right, so she has one-third less income. But as a single filer, that same $60,000 pushes her to the 22% tax bracket. And adding insult to injury and salt in the wound, the standard deduction that she and her spouse enjoyed was $34,700. It drops now in half to $17,350. Higher tax bracket, half the standard deduction, and the senior bonus deduction drops from $12,000 to $6,000 for Carol. This is unfortunate, but with the right type of income, the right type of planning, the devastating impacts, the widow's tax penalty, the collateral tax damage we keep talking about, can be severely mitigated, if not eliminated altogether. And just a final word on the widow's tax penalty here. It's a stealth tax. A lot of people call it a shadow tax. This widow's tax penalty, and it can quietly really leave a surviving spouse on shaky and unstable ground. And that can be a tough thing to discuss and a little bit painful, but it's very real. This is real life. We see it every day. We deal with it. We help people prepare for it and avoid it, if at all possible. 484-600-6512, 484-600-6512, or wealthmapradio.com. The purpose, at least in our perspective, is not just, hey, let's get the maximum amount of income, let's pay the least in taxes, let's have the prepare for inflation as best we can. All those financial objectives aren't done for the sake of themselves. They're done because of how they translate into real-world experience, what it does for our clients in the real world. So yes, setting up multiple strings of tax-free income, legally divorcing the IRS, cool. Financially, it looks awesome. But what does that mean for you? Well, it means your tax return is simple enough that a fourth grader could do it. It means you don't care about new taxes in the future if they disallow deductions, if they winnow them out, if they jack up the tax brackets, if they create new taxes like IRMA and Social Security taxes, as they have in the past. You don't really care. Even if taxes doubled and you're in the 0% tax bracket, what is 2 times 0? Zero. It just doesn't matter. The relief that clients have, knowing they are in a tax-free retirement situation, knowing they can't get hurt by IRMA, knowing that their assets will not unnecessarily and frustratingly trigger taxes on Social Security, means the world to retirees. And so again, we humbly invite you, be one of the first five today. Set up your visit with us at Whispering Brook Financial, and let's get a compass report done for you, started and executed, so that you can see what truly is possible for you. 484-600-6512, 600-6512, or wealthmapradio.com. Okay, I think we have enough time for one more tax scorecard example. To convert or not to convert, that is the big question right now, especially as we head into the end of the year. I know that's on many people's minds. The tax scorecard analysis is designed to quantify what your total retirement tax bill might look like and what it might look like compared to a conversion strategy of some kind. It is a very good high-level discussion point that can put some rubber meets the road numbers to an often kind of esoteric question of whether or not I should convert. So let's say this. Let's say you're 63 years old. You have an IRA or a pre-tax account of some kind with $800,000 in it. You're in a current effective tax rate of 20%. And we'll assume that that normalizes to historical averages in 6 years to about 24%. You think that maybe a 6% rate of return as a modest average might be reasonable to assume. At age 67, you're married here, and at age 67, your Social Security will be about $48,000 a year. See the picture a little bit? At age 68, you would like to start taking maximum distributions from your IRA to live on through age 90. Whatever that result is, whatever the balance is at age 68, you want to take a withdrawal that will pretty much zero it out by your through age 90. Alrighty. I mean, live on the money, right? Okay, so here we go. If that were our scenario, what would the taxes be if we left the IRA as it is? Answer. Taxes on the distributions or withdrawals, $480,000 from age 68 to 90. Taxes on the IRA at death, about $20,000. Unnecessary taxes on Social Security that are caused by the IRA, about $50,000. IRMA surcharges, extra Medicare taxes on your premiums, over $45,600. When it's all said and done, the total tax bill for this current path outlook is about $600,000. All right, let's remember that. Let's rewind and take a different approach. What if instead of deferring and procrastinating the taxes in that IRA, we developed a strategic Roth conversion strategy? Let's say the conversion period is 5 years, and we'll add an additional 3% of taxes during the conversion period to be fair. So by age 67, through age 67, we've now converted this $800,000 IRA to a Roth IRA. What now are the taxes on the distributions or withdrawals from it? Zero. What are the taxes at death to the heirs? Zero. Social Security, we do have some tax here, about $8,100 instead of $50,000. So a reduction of about $42,000 or so. IRMA surcharges. Well, our lifetime IRMA surcharges were $45,600. Now they're $1,400. Altogether, we do have some taxes on the Roth conversions, though, don't we? That's our biggest piece of the tax bill, about $206,000. So the total taxes on the conversion path are about $216,000 versus about $600,000. So what are my total tax savings? Well, that is a reduction of almost 64% in total taxes due throughout your retirement experience if this were hypothetically your situation. That translates in real dollars to just over $381,000. This is a little bit more of a modest example. They're not always $1 million plus in tax savings. But in this situation, that is still a 64% reduction in taxes. And ladies and gentlemen, I would just kind of ask you to think a little bit. When's the last time anyone showed you how to save $380,000 in your retirement outlook? What's not modeled here is what would happen if one spouse predeceased the other and the widow's tax penalty came to be. We'd like to do your Compass report for you and show you, in your situation, how to create multiple streams of tax-free income and what might be possible in all areas of your financial picture. 484-600-6512. WealthMapRadio.com or 484-600-6512. Thanks so much for being with us.
Wealth Map Radio is an independent production of West Springbrook Financial. The services of voiceover professionals are often used for this production. Such professionals are not licensed financial professionals. Case studies and example share may be materially different than your own situation and are often dramatized for entertainment value. No solicitation of any security or investment is made or implied. Consult with independent financial, tax, and legal advisors before implementing any strategy. Neither Steveck Roth nor West Springbrook Financial are endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. More information is available by visiting Wealth Map Radio or by calling 484-600-6512.